Said, we're glad you're with us this morning. We say it every week, and every week we mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. God has you a reason for being here today. Whether it is what you thought may have brought you here or whatever, you're here for a reason. So we're just glad that you're with us. Mariah, let's do this again. Are you sitting right up here in front? Come on up here, grab these dresses. First off, Friday night, they had a humongous ladies event. That didn't sound right. It wasn't the event for humongous ladies. It was a ladies' event that was humongous. It really went well. Oh, I get the cute ones this time, huh? So Friday night, the ladies' event had a great thing going on here. All the gals. There were 55 plus. That didn't sound right either. There were more than 55 people, ladies here. And then yesterday morning, I was here and happened to be able to watch the ladies that were making the dress-a-girl dresses. And they come from all kinds of, like that was a sheet and different scraps of, and they make these dresses and they go around the world. And they send them to these places where girls don't have dresses. And it's amazing. You were working on this one when I saw you. I asked you if you knew what you were doing and you said no. And you really didn't. But it turned out okay. It won't stretch quite enough for me, but, you know, it works. And it's really great. They have about, well, you said about 50 dresses or so, 40 or more, that are going to be sent out soon here. And they go to girls, and it's amazing the ministry that with this comes a tag and just the way that you can share the love of Jesus. We take so many things that we have for granted. We just take it for granted. And, we are doing those not only for girls around the world, but girls just, I mean, it's just a great ministry, isn't it? Just awesome. And as we send off this time, we're sending the dresses off. But coming up as we grow and as we get more, we have the potential of sending ladies with the dresses to give those dresses to the girls and so that we can actually have a ministry with our own ladies there going to minister in around the world. So it's a great. I was also told to tell you they're not going to be meeting through the summer as a combined, but many of you are making them at home. Continue making them. They hope to increase every time they go out. I saw little girls that were here working with parents. It was great. It's just a great opportunity and a great ministry. Gustavo, come share with us, please, if you would.
Thank you, sir. Hola, buenos días a todos. Me llamo Gustavo, y buenos días para los que me entienden. Voy a darles un breve resumen del servicio de hoy. El servicio se tratará sobre la promesa de la Pascua, ¿verdad? Y con eso vienen muchas promesas, lo que es la promesa de la cruz, que todos sabemos que es Cristo muriendo en la cruz por nuestros pecados. La promesa también de la tumba vacía, es verdad, en otras palabras. Jesús prometió que Él va a resucitar y cumplió con su palabra al regresar el tercer día. La promesa de la ropa del entierro es vida. Y nos referimos a que Cristo dejó su ropa en la tumba para demostrar que Él no estaba muerto, que Él está vivo y está con nosotros y que quiere tener una relación íntima con nosotros. Y el reto de hoy es de celebrar la Pascua por el significado personal que tiene en uno, ¿verdad? Lo que significa para nosotros, no lo que es el símbolo que lo ha hecho la sociedad, ¿verdad? Que es un conejo y un huevo y no sé ni cómo va eso, ¿verdad? Y también que Y que deberíamos ver la Pascua no nomás como otro día festivo, pero sino como un día de cambio. Y me refiero a cambio por lo que hemos visto que en la resurrección de Cristo, que fue el que nos dio salvación, vida eterna para todos los que creemos en Él. Gracias.
Hang on here. Okay, I give him and Anthony here what the synopsis is, and for those of you, because we have many who English is second language, and I want them to know where our message is going, so we have him do it in Spanish. I gave him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, basically. He added one of my line, and then yet what you just heard was all of this, okay? And that's why I was thinking, man, I kept looking for one word down here, resurrection. I did see that, waiting for you to wonder when you were going to, you know, like be towards the end. But I think some of that was ad lib, I have a feeling, like you were preaching without really writing it down here.
It was just a couple of notes, and then the rest I kind of just, as I'm going.
Yeah, well, like, you know what? I'm the preacher here, so, okay? Why did I have a feeling that was happening, Gustavo? Yeah, get you up here. Anthony, you're on next week. No, as if he'd be any better. Whoa, man. Hey, some of you who don't speak a word of Spanish, don't be cheering that, okay? You know? He did good. Who said that? Did you? Yeah, well, you would know. Boy, I'm sure he did wonderful. I'm just, you know, it's okay. No, that's great. And it does help those who understand. Sometimes I get to speaking so fast that we just lose some, and so it's a great opportunity. We've been looking at the Passion Week. We've been looking at the role of, as Jesus leaves Bethany, he comes that road into Jerusalem to weep over Jerusalem, to spend time with his disciples. We find ourselves in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, 2 weeks ago. We looked at that, how that the discouragement of the disciples, after they had given their lives, 3 years of their lives over that, to really following this guy who said, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so after 3 years of really living with him day in and day out, all the travails, all the troubles, everything, then for this guy, after having the Lord's Supper, to turn around and saying, okay, I'm leaving, and you can't go with me. I'm leaving you. They probably felt in some sense like they had been betrayed. Like, what? Wait a minute, we've left all this. We gave up our businesses, our families, our homes. We leave everything, and now we can't go with you. And they really didn't fully understand that, even though he had prophesied that this was going to take place. When it came down to it, he didn't understand that. And that was the Thursday as the upper room, and he was teaching them some very difficult things they were trying to grasp, which led us to Good Friday after the garden and all of that. And here now Jesus is on trial, and the travesty of that whole situation. And they find him on a cross, and they find him dead. I imagine that Good Friday went from discouragement on Thursday to total devastation on Friday. That, man, not only did we give our life to this guy that we thought was true, but now he's dead. What have we really invested in? What have we really, have we been fed a lie? And we looked at that, and as we walked through that, we looked last week at, are you a Good Friday person? Are you living in Good Friday? You may have the form of religion, but no power. You may have the form of spiritual, but no life. And that we find ourselves living in Good Friday instead of Easter Sunday morning. Instead of the power of the resurrection. Instead of finding the power of an empty tomb. Instead of finding that, we find ourselves living Good Friday, always defeated. We may find ourselves like Simon, who was brought to the cross because they forced him to get there. You're going to carry this cross. You may be here this morning feeling forced to be here, whether it be a student or a spouse. Oh, I got to be there. Maybe you're here and you're only one who would know that you're forced is you, because you feel like this guilt of legalism that says, oh, if I don't go, God's going to get me. Some of the issues that we bring to our worship experience, to our life with Christ. Some of you are like Pilate, who said, I just want to remain neutral. You know, it's a good thing we add to it. It's kind of like backpack Jesus. We add him to our life when we need him, when we don't want him. It's okay. All of the issues that we find ourselves in that Good Friday, all the people that we find ourselves, and yet Easter's coming. And today I want to look at the issue of Easter. And I want to look at the promise of Easter. Now, obviously, we talk about Easter, and it's one of those things, well, sure, it's an Easter message, the promise of Easter. But you know, in our world, for the most part, we are taught that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's not true. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And many of us have been taken in by empty promises. Promises that really mean nothing. Promises that, you know, make us leery and, boy, it just sounds too good to be true, and pretty soon we get careful for it, and that the world just simply doesn't work that way. But you know what? The reality is God does. God does work with promises, and none of them are empty. None of them are hollow. They all are real. Now, we fall for that in many cases. The world is full of them. We watch TV, on any given show, and the advertisements tell us everything, don't they? You can be happy. You can be thin. You can have hair. You can have no hair. You can gain, if you drive this, you can gain significance. You can be rich. You can own land. If you just send us $20, we'll tell you how. And you know what? Do you know why they continue to air those ads? because you and I continue to buy that crap. We still believe there's got to be an easy way around it. We got to believe there's got to be some truth to it. And yet after we get it and we take the pill, empty promises. After we get it and we drive the car, it starts not smelling so new. After we get it, all the things, the empty promises that are filled with. And we learn that. But God is different. And instead of being empty, full promises full of emptiness, he gives us this emptiness that's full of promise. And tonight, today, I want to look at this emptiness that is full of promise. And there's some things in God's word that I want to show you that are empty, that have full of promises, but the promises themselves are not empty. I've chosen Luke chapter 24 out of the synoptics just to kind of paraphrase this passion experience. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, can you imagine? They probably weren't looking forward to the job that they had ahead of them. They were probably saying, we didn't think he was going to die. What happened to our leader? What happened to this man we loved? What's going on here? And they were taking, some will say, historians will tell you that it took 70 to 100 pounds of spices and oils and ointments to prepare a body. And so I imagine on that morning as they walked through, and they probably could see the place of Golgotha, the place of the skull where Jesus had been crucified, and now they're going to a tomb. I can't even imagine the emotions that those women might have been feeling. Would they really want to do what they were having to do? Did they ever expect they would have to do this? They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Can you imagine the people that are framed even in that narrative? The disciples hearing this, the women coming and saying, hey, you won't believe this. Two men, as angels, just told us that he's not there, he's gone. We don't even know where he's at. We don't know what's going on. But they said, don't look for the living among the dead. And then all that, and I'm sure that people were saying, whoa, have you been smoking some of those spices that you're supposed to use for the body? What's going on here? Isn't it interesting that Peter gets up and runs to that tomb? The issues of our life, and there's some things here that I believe as we come, that there's some empty items here that I believe speak to great promises. Not empty promises, but empty items. And the first one that you see, obviously, is a used or empty cross. The cross that Jesus had hung on. I imagine as the women went by, they saw the place of the skull, and they would see, and if they were to look at that cross that Jesus was on, if we were to look at that, it would not take long for us to realize that that cross had been used. If you remember, there was a crown of thorns placed upon his brow. I imagine by the round of where his head would have been on that cross, there was probably blood stains. There may have been some hair matted into the back of that wood. If you remember, he was flogged and his back was ripped with a cat of nine tails. I imagine as he hung on that cross, the way they would do it is they would bend his knees. They put a block of wood, and to catch a breath, he would have to push up with his knees so that he could get breath into his lungs, and then as he got weak, he would fall back down. So I imagine the scraping on the back of that wood probably had bits of flesh of his back and blood in that back of that cross, probably running down. Obviously, on the cross beam where his hands had been nailed and on where his feet had been. It was a used cross, yet it was an empty cross. And that empty cross this morning, the one that we see, the issue was he was dead. Don't ever believe the lie. They made up a lie that the 11 disciples came and stole the body, that he really wasn't dead. But he was dead. He had given it up. And yet on that cross, that used cross, we see a promise. Because on that cross, he said he bore our sin and our shame and our suffering. And on that cross, we have the promise of forgiveness. When you see that empty cross, the promise that has lots in it is forgiveness. It's not an empty promise. The empty cross brings fulfillment, the promise of forgiveness. It says he bore our sins on that cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of that sin, the wages of our sin should be death. We should be on that cross. We should be. The wages of our sin is death. But he said he gave us that gift. That gift was him on that cross. And the blood that was flowing is blowing from him because he carried our sin on that cross. And when he said it is finished, guess what? The debt had been paid. The debt had been paid. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior, if there's been a time in your life when you realize, I need that forgiveness. I want to change from dependence upon myself to dependence upon him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you give your life to Christ, you know the promise of forgiveness. You are forgiven for past. You're forgiven for the present. We're forgiven for the future. He says, I know that. I died for you on that cross. We deserve the punishment, but God's paschal lamb, that final lamb, was given in him. And so when we look at that empty cross, it's a reminder of a great, big, fulfilled promise that he died for our sins and that you have been forgiven. On that cross, he paid the penalty of our sin, that he died for us. But there's something else that was empty as you look at that narrative. It's the one that we always claim and we run right to it. And that was the empty tomb. You know it, I know it, we see it. That's the story of Easter, isn't it? The empty tomb. I can imagine, you would think it'd be very simple, but it wasn't very simple. Because so many things have been postulated as to realize, oh, well, why it was really empty here. You know, like the 11 disciples, they come and they're gonna take him out of the tomb and they're going to overcome the Roman guard. They're going to move a stone that weighed, they say, up to 2 tons away from the front of that tomb. They're going to move that by themselves. They're move it over and then they're going to steal the body away from the Roman guard and no one's ever going to see that again. Or you can go with the swoon theory. There's so many of them that Jesus himself wasn't really dead, that he had passed out on the cross. They thought he was dead. So they wrap him in the grave clothes, wrap him all up. They put him in the tomb and then the cold dampness of the tomb revives him and he's able to get out of the grave clothes. He folds them up, puts them together. Then he goes over and he moves the stone by himself, the 2 tons, and then he overpowers the Roman guard there and then he leaves on his own. It takes more faith to believe a lie than it does to believe the truth. And as we see the empty tomb, we understand he is not there. And the two men dressed as angels, dressed as men, said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is alive. He is not dead. You're coming looking for something that's alive. Why are you looking in the tomb? He's not there. He's risen. He's gone. You're going to see him again as he told you he would. As he told you by Galilee, you're going to see him again. And the empty tomb, what the greatest promise of the empty tomb is this. The promise is of truth. Jesus was who he said he was. And the reason we can be here today is because Jesus is who he said he was. It meant nothing. He could have prophesied to the world that he was God, that he was deity, that he was the incarnate one, that he was the Lamb. He could have prophesied all those things that he wanted. But if the tomb remained sealed and he was inside, all of it was not, because he was the one who prophesied, you put this temple down and 3 days later it will rise again. It will come again. And yet when we see that empty tomb, the promise is that this is true. And we stand today, we don't stand on feeling, we don't stand on fable, we don't stand on and once upon a time in a story. We stand upon the truth that what God said is true. And it was proven in the Lord, and so we have the word, and that promise is full of truth. And that we have that truth today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We see the empty tomb and we have that truth. They can say, they can lie all they want. But listen, as they come, the soldiers are unconscious. The stone is removed. An angel glowing like lightning is sitting on it. Don't be afraid. You're looking for somebody who's not here because he's alive. Jesus has risen. All of that. That was the promise of truth. We have truth and it's right here. We do not serve just because of a feeling. We do not serve a God who said, yeah, one day and then never made good on the promise. We have an empty tomb, but we have a great promise, and that is the promise of truth. The tomb was empty, quite frankly, because Jesus was alive. There was no need to keep a live man in a tomb. We wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be long before Jesus himself appears to the disciples. He appears to Mary, to the women, to all the apostles, to two on the road to Emmaus, to over 500 people. The empty tomb. But I want to point out something else that as I studied and as I thought about today, something that just hit me, and as I studied, I see the issue of the empty and unnecessary burial clothes. They wrapped him in these clothes, these cloths. They would take strips and they'd wrap and they'd tie him up and they would tie it and wrapped, and they were going to prepare that. They were going to seal that. And as you look at that, when you go and you read in the synoptics of the other gospels, you'll find that it was folded. It was folded and placed with design. Jesus is alive. But you know what the empty grave clothes show me? Is that Jesus didn't want to just be some nebulous force out there in the cosmos. Because he could have done that. In fact, many of you think that Jesus is some nebulous force out there who, yeah, he's God, but he really doesn't want to be involved with me. And yet he folded the grave clothes because he was alive and he was getting dressed. Because he had a dinner date. He had a dinner date with some people walking to Emmaus. He had a dinner date with those who were closed behind the door in fear. And he was going to appear. He had a date to show Thomas the holes in his hands and his feet. See, the promise of those unnecessary burial clothes is the promise of life. The promise of life, not just in eternity, but right now. Jesus did not rise from the dead, disappear into the heavens, never to be seen again until his second coming. Jesus validated the truth of the empty tomb and of an empty cross by appearing to those who were there. He says, hey, here I am. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those empty cloth. And you know what that says? To me, it says Jesus wants a personal relationship with each of us. He wants us to live in the intimate wonder of knowing him. It's not just about, yeah, I have the empty cross and the empty tomb and these clothes and I'm in heaven and see you again someday. The reality is he gave us the promise of life. The cross couldn't hold him, the tomb couldn't hold him, and the burial clothes were unnecessary because you don't wrap a living person and he doesn't stay in burial clothes if you're alive. And the reality is he was alive. And you can know his love. You can know his care. You can know his healing today. You can know his forgiveness. He says, behold, as in Revelation, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. And if you'll open the door, I will come in and I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to have a banquet with you. That's where he's at. He said, I'm going to have a banquet with you. And today we can see the issue of a used cross. Listen, you can know his forgiveness. It's empty, but the promise is full. It's an empty cross, used cross, but the promise is full. You are forgiven if you know him today. So cast off the shame of the past. Why do you think Peter ran so fast to that tomb? Because Peter had shame and he wanted it gone. And when that tomb was raised, Peter knew, I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. He says, that's an empty cross. And there's an empty tomb, and that empty tomb is the promise of truth. And don't you know those disciples as they gathered behind that door, and all of a sudden Jesus came and appeared. He says, hey, don't be afraid, because you thought I wasn't coming back, but I'm here. I'm alive. We have a dinner date. We have a dinner date. Let's go dine. We're going to dine together. The issue is the promise of life with those burial clothes. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to see you here. Peter, touch me. You know, I'm not wrapped in burial clothes. I'm alive. And he gives us life, and life more abundantly. He says, you can have life, not just a quantity of time, or not just in heaven, but right now that you can know him in his fullness, that you can know the forgiveness of sin, an empty cross, but full of promises, an empty tomb, the promise of truth, that it is true. You can deny it, you can seek it all you want, but your life will only have meaning and significance when you understand that what he says is true, and our purpose is found in him, and that he wants to have life with you, that he's not just some cosmic force out there, that he wants to be intimately and wonderfully dynamic in your life. And he said, we are going to dine. And guess what, folks? What's even greater than that? He says, one day, the earth's going to heat. And he says in Psalms 23 that he's preparing a table before us right now. That one day he's going to come back and we're going to dine at this great hometown buffet in the sky. And that's where we're going to be. Because he says, I got a meal. He's alive. He's ready. He's going to come again. The truth of the matter is those empty issues have full of promises. Not like the world that says, oh, a lot of promises have no meaning. They're empty promises. But that's not what's found in God's word. There is a used cross with full of promise. There is an empty tomb. It has full of promise. And there is burial clothes that give us life because we are alive. He who knows Christ will never see death. They're never going to wrap us in burial clothes because we will never see spiritual death because we are alive in Christ. Are you alive today? That's the promise of Easter. The promise of Easter is that your sins are forgiven. What he said is true, and he gives us and wants to bring us life. And if you don't have that life, that's why you need to say, God, I am the reason that cross was there. It was for me that blood was shed, that I might have that forgiveness, that I might know the truth, and that truth will set me free. And if you're in bondage today, come to Jesus. That's where truth is. Let's pray. God, today I'm thankful for items that are empty. The world wants to sell us so many empty promises of what will bring us joy, what will make us happy, what will make us significant. But Father, there's a used cross, and it is used, but it is empty. You're not on it. We often wear crosses around our neck with you hanging on it, but you ain't there. You ain't there. And that tomb is empty because you are alive. You validated the truth of it. And God, there's some empty burial clothes because you're not dead, nor are we. When we give our life to Christ, we are made a new creation. Everything is made new. I pray that we would know the promise of Easter and that we would live that promise like never before. May we understand how much you love us and that the Easter is more than a holiday. God, it is the foundation of our entire faith. Thank you for this day. I pray you will challenge us and change us as we go to celebrate life and life to the fullest. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.